Well, Blockhead Nation, here we are. 100 plus episodes, 10 exciting guests, and many more to come, and the journey has just begun. Want to remind my listeners that your favorite Blockhead's associated with the Yogis Podcast Network, where you can listen to The Nightly Rant with Mike and Toria. You can listen to Liberty Revealed and one of my personal favorites, The Elite Podcast Academy, that will teach you everything you need to know about being a professional podcaster to take your show from 0 to 60 in 5.2 with all the tips from Mike himself from the Yogis Podcast Network. And also to remind you that I'm associated with the Dose Leprechauns page. Dose Leprechauns Media has taken off. The merchandise is looking great. Jason and Nate are killing it in the podcasting world, and Notre Dame football is looking promising. All that being said, the little redhead girl is giving me the go-ahead. So what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good evening, Blockhead Nation. Thank you for coming back once again to the show. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. To start off today, I'd like to talk to you about my friends over at Fanatics. Guys, NCAA football is alive and well. Ain't nobody stopping the LSU Tigers, and we've also got a showdown going on with Ohio State and with Clemson. And you can get in on the action with your merchandise from the global leader in licensed sports merchandise, Fanatics. They're changing the way fans purchase their favorite team apparel and their jerseys online, offering the largest selection of sports collectibles from all major professional sports leagues, not just NCAA football, but the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, National Hockey League, the UFC, and so much more, with major media brands like NBC Sports, CBS, Fox, and more than 200 collegiate and professional team properties. Use the link in the blog page for the podcast and save over 20% on thousands of college football items from my friends over at Fanatics. Hope everybody that was in the Blockhead Nation and those from other reaches of the globe had a wonderful holiday. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Hope you can kick back tonight and listen to some words of your friend tonight. To start off with, on YouTube, there is finally an analysis of the depth of a boy named Charlie Brown. Now, I'm not here to critique his particular podcast. I'm not here to critique his live YouTube video. It's fairly well put together. It's got a lot of sentimental value. There is one part that I want to correct on his part. So if this guy happens to come across this show, your favorite Blockhead, just to make sure you're educated in this realm. There's a part where he mentions Schroeder. Schroeder goes into this, I have to use the term, art parable. He goes into storytelling mode with his piano and starts to display the most beautiful array of colors and the story of Beethoven, unspoken like you've never seen before. And he does mention Schroeder playing the piano. He does mention the parts of it growing substantially larger than he is, but he doesn't go into detail about how this is representative of the life of Beethoven. It doesn't represent how it's going through the history of his life and maybe through different times of historical significance. He doesn't go into any detail on that. But I can tell you that that is who is being portrayed in this. And the particular song is none other than Beethoven's Pathetique Sonata. Most of you might be familiar with some of the other works that Beethoven has done. One well-known one is the Moonlight Sonata. Now, that one is played several times in many of the Charlie Brown TV series, but in this one is the Pathetique Sonata. And if there ever was a type of art parable that was drawn out and descriptive, this is it. Now, if you're not sure what I mean by art parable, I'm going to leave another link up here tonight. I'm going to leave... Don't want to go into detail of every single gift that Blockhead got this holiday season under the tree or through Amazon.com with Prime. I think you know how those are working these days, how it shows up within 2 days on your door. But I will go into the book by Mr. Robert Short, known as The Parables of Peanuts. And this was an intriguing title, and it's been a compelling read so far. So two places in the show that I'm going to place it here in the blog page. You can go to my link for Amazon through my affiliate link. You can also go through Thrift Books. If you decide to go there, I've got a coupon code for you. I think it's 15 off new. You can use that if you want to purchase your own Parable of Peanuts hardback copy. Or if you want to go through Amazon Kindle, you could probably look through there. But either way, there's a whole description in the very first chapter about what an art parable is. And really, it's even in its simplest form, it's meant to be binding of men. Just as it was written about in Scripture about how Jesus Christ would go through and share his parables, and they were spellbinding to men. Now, I don't mean to say this is some type of tactic that's being used, but often in the book it's talked about as a tactic of infiltration. Because if there was one word that's not used in Scripture once, it's the word art. If you don't know that, it's never mentioned once in the Bible. But the word that's most commonly associated with art would have to be the term parable. The one that has people intrigued, has people scratching their head and asking questions, wanting to dive in more, and they are given the chance to give their own conclusion on what is being displayed to them. So there's this combination of, as you see in the title, of art parable. And really, it's a strategy that is meant for, as the book says, it's a creation of man with no practical use except to communicate indirectly through forms that capture one's attention, just like Schroeder would with this particular art form that he does as he plays the Pathetique Sonata by Beethoven, and he draws you in as you watch this. So if you have not seen A Boy Named Charlie Brown, I would obviously recommend you go to YouTube, find Schroeder playing Beethoven, and you can take a look at this particular song itself, and you can see the art parable that's displayed. It's almost like in the book talks about a strategy of wounding someone from behind. And I share all that because of what I'm going to mention in the next part of this particular podcast. It's something I feel like I haven't done a good job at. It's one that sometimes when I talk to my listeners here and I'm noticing that the numbers are substantially going up, I'm taking a look at Apple Podcasts. I'm looking at Spotify. Oh, by the way, if you want to leave me a review, want to subscribe, you want to click the button and ring the bell, feel free to do all of those things. But as I start to look at this, the numbers are going up, and I don't know, even though I can see that my demographics are 25 to 35-year-old males, this could still be scattered all across the globe, everywhere from here to Canada, to the United Kingdom, people that are listening here. I got some from the Philippines that have come to my blog and are looking into it. I got people in South America that are listening to this. So your favorite blockhead is extending across countries, states. The Blockhead Nation is starting to grow. And if somehow you come across this show and you believe that this is from a religious aspect, I have to challenge you on that, because really, I don't mean to do that. My intention is more of, some of the greatest stories ever told have been in history. Some of the greatest stories ever told can be found in the Old Testament. And all that is a foretelling of somebody that is to come. But I do that not to scare off my audience, but as the art parable is talked about in this book, The Parable of Peanuts, it's a tactic of infiltration. And really, if you watch Schroeder, it can infiltrate your heart and your soul as you watch this art form and you engage in the music. It is very edifying, and it is almost therapeutic to dive into that scene. So again, a creation of man with no practical use except through communicating to you, whether audible or inaudible. And since you've come to this podcast, I'm welcoming you into this idea of art parable. And it was done beautifully in New Testament through none other than the greatest storyteller that ever walked the face of this earth, who can put yours truly to shame. I believe many of you can identify who that is. But if you don't, you can always reach out to me on Messenger. You can come to me on Facebook. You can go to Instagram and you can leave a message and maybe we can get into more detail about this. Maybe you leave comments on YouTube. That's there for your amusement as well. Also, I ask that you just be appropriate as you put those up. And one thing that's more appropriate, since my guys that are listening to this are 25 to 35 year old males, one thing you are dealing with on a daily basis is your shave, aren't you? We have to make sure that we are cutting our shaving time in half. We don't want to waste money. We don't want to waste water. But if you want to sharpen your blades and get a smooth and close shave every time, check out my link in the blog for this podcast for the Blade Tab, the 3-in-1 razor unclogger, sharpener, and holder. The brush is slightly frayed out, designed to get in between the blades on your razor. The clamp style holds in two grooves that hold the razor in place during storage or whether you are traveling, and the honing pad is designed specifically to polish and sharpen the microscopic nicks on the blades as you press and slide firmly before setting the razor in the holder to go about and start your day. So check out the link in my podcast for the Blade Tab, and when you get to checkout to save 20% on your purchase, make sure you use the promo code TAPITCLEAN, all one word, all uppercase, TAPITCLEAN. Tap it clean. That's from my friends over at Blade Tap. Our scripture of the day is Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. Now, you just seen what I just did here. Normally, those who follow my show know that I put the scripture of the day early on into the discussion, early on into the podcast, mostly because I want to make sure that it is glorifying Him in everything I do. It says, in everything you do, every good endeavor, glorify Him. But sometimes that seems to be, it's being challenged by this parable of peanuts that I'm reading, because Charles Schulz did the same thing. He knew very well how to use Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 through 6, better than yours truly. And here are the words: be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, what this is talking about is very much what Charles Schulz did. If you have watched Charlie Brown Christmas this holiday season, let me walk you through the process here. The beginning starts off with everyone skating on the ice rink. Am I correct? Then you have Charlie Brown venting his frustrations to Linus on the brick wall. None of this has anything to do with Scripture. But watch for what happens. We get to the brick wall and they're trying to knock off one of the tin cans that's up on the brick wall. Who is able to accomplish the job? It's Linus. But how does he do it? He places the snowball inside of his blanket and it becomes a slingshot. Who else used the slingshot to defeat the giant? You're right. David the shepherd. And if you look further into the story, this is how he intertwines this art parable. And he does it beautifully in a way to minister to someone, to be wise in the way he acts with outsiders who are just now coming into his world. That is Charlie Brown and Linus and Snoopy and the gang. And further on, it's finally at the climax when the Christmas tree is chosen and he is made into a laughingstock and he asks, is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Isn't that the part where Linus goes to the middle of the stage and quotes from the Gospel of Luke? That is art parable intertwined beautifully. And Charles Schulz was a master at this. In every one of his comic strips, Charles Schulz was preaching the gospel to the world in this exact same format, as I said earlier, the strategy of wounding from behind. Not to meet you up front and be able to possibly drive you away with starting off with Scripture. So in a way, yours truly, your favorite blockhead, is trying to work this same idea. Be expecting from now on the scripture of the day to fall mid-show instead of in the beginning. Not because I don't want to honor the Lord with my podcast, but this is also making sure I make the most of every opportunity, as Colossians 4 has challenged me to. Now there's another challenge I have to do. Pulling in the second part of my show when we are talking about mixed martial arts. You got your fill of peanuts briefly, and I recommend the book to anybody, The Parable of Peanuts. You have your links in the blog that you can get for the podcast. But Joe Rogan recently came out and challenged many people in the MMA community to think about something, about how if you want to fix a lot of the scorekeeping problems in mixed martial arts, here's what you do. You fire every last one of the scorekeepers. He has my attention at this point. And then to hire 9 veterans of the MMA sport. Okay. Hypothetically and theoretically, I love this concept. I'm already on board. But then my question is, if we were to do that, even though that would solve a lot of the inaccuracies of scorekeepings, maybe we wouldn't have a lot of these weird majority draws that happen sometime. Or there, this doesn't affect doctor stoppages, but it does come to when we get to split decisions, unanimous decisions, and which is more common a problem in the world of boxing. But again, most boxing fans bleed over easily into MMA. But when I look at that, I go, well, who are you going to put in place with it? And what if somebody that's fighting comes from their training camp? What if you got, for instance, Daniel Cormier sitting cage side watching John Jones versus Dominic Reyes, and we try him out on the panel? Could there be sour grapes or somehow having to put his professional cap on and to set his feelings and his animosity aside for John Jones? He would have to do that to be a professional and to be an athlete and to withhold the integrity of the sport that there is. That's true. Take a look at so many of the controversies that have happened in boxing that drive people away just by the scorecards. And if you want to look at somebody, at least we can come to, maybe corruption's not going to go away entirely in these realms. But when it comes to being inept or incompetent, at least somebody who has been on the inside, because as we know, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. So Rogan's challenge is to be able to do this. That's a heck of a narrative for anybody to build for this particular sport. So, hypothetically, I'm with it. I think we can all see. And there's also something else that's going to be diminishing. It's already happened at this point. Speaking of Daniel Cormier, who used to be a dual champion, what is starting to diminish in the sport of MMA is the dual championship, at least in the UFC. Now, in my case, I've done a top 10 of my greatest MMA champions of all time. And with this dual championship no longer being relevant, that means that I have to start moving some of my numbers around and considering who I would put as the greatest champions in this sport. So what has happened is The Athletic came out with an article talking about Henry Cejudo not being stripped of, but relinquishing the flyweight championship so he can focus on the bantamweight. Now, we start to think, okay, now we don't have double championships. We don't have the same narrative that was going on not too long ago where I have to start rethinking my top 10. But who does this benefit? When it comes to the sport, it benefits the flyweight division. The reason I say that is because there is one guy who has been the flagship of the flyweight division in the UFC, just as in my mind, one of the flagship fighters for Bellator MMA, who is returning tonight. Now, that Bellator fighter I'm talking about is Michael Chandler. He has a fight tonight in the co-main event with Sydney Outlaw, and will be the co-main event for Rampage versus Fedor Emelianenko. So that's the main event if you want to check out Bellator MMA tonight, not too far from now. Soon, we'll have the co-main event with Michael Chandler and Sydney Outlaw, but he was so much the flagship of Bellator MMA for so long. Who was the one that carried the flagship for the flyweight division? It was not Demetrius Johnson. He was just the unstoppable force in the flyweight division. I still have DJ in my top 10. Mighty Mouse is still a phenomenal athlete, and he's still just now in his prime. But who carried the flyweight division before that? Joseph Benavidez. This is a guy who is hanging out in the middle of the flyweights and just with nothing to do. It's one thing when you're John Jones and you have the title and nobody is able to come to the forefront and say, yeah, I'm going to be your number one contender. Joseph Benavidez has only lost 3 times in the history of the flyweight division of the UFC. He's lost twice to Demetrius Johnson. And the only other loss he has is to Sergio Pettis. And now Sergio Pettis is a full acknowledged on-contract fighter in Bellator MMA. If anybody could benefit from the dual championship going away and the flyweight strap being back on a pedestal and can go for the gold, it's Joseph Benavidez. And most of the world doesn't know who he is. We go off of star fandom. We don't look at somebody who rightfully deserves a chance to be the best. And this is something I've screamed about since day one when it comes to championships. Who's your number one contender now for the welterweight championship now that Kamaru Usman has shown that he is superior to Colby Covington? It's Jorge Masvidal. End of discussion, period, exclamation point. There's your guy. Forget the BMF gimmick and let's look at who's going to be the best. The flyweight division now has a chance for Joseph Benavidez to be the best in the flyweight division and for that championship to be held by him or somebody else, maybe like Ray Borg, who has had a very tough uphill battle in that division. But this is who benefits. The flyweight division benefits from relinquishing the title and Joseph Benavidez, who has a chance to say who's standing in front of him. Who else? This is a guy who gets a chance finally, who has not been just holding the title and waiting for somebody, quote, worthy to step up. This is a guy who finally gets a chance to say, I am the best in this division. Now that everybody else has stepped aside, he can be the flagship for the flyweight division. There's my art parable. There is my wounding from behind. That if there's anybody that the Blockhead Nation should be getting behind and watching what happens at this point on that division, which is not often in the spotlight, because we're gonna get our thrills and spills when Conor McGregor comes back and faces Donald Cerrone. But you look at it, where has he been in? The featherweight and the lightweight divisions. That's where he'll dominate both of those worlds. Bantamweight division, another different story. That's another guy who could easily go into commentary and actually from commentary to scorecards and do it right would have to be Dominic Cruz. Another guy who has the IQ to watch everything in the side of the cage and make sure those scorecards stay on point and the right victor gets his hand raised at the end of the fight. There's my art parable for the scorecards. There's my art parable for the diminishing duel championships that are happening and how that will benefit at least one of the divisions and one of the weight classes and how it will definitely benefit Joseph Benavidez down the road. I raise a root beer to a new year of many good fights that are coming up for MMA. I raise a root beer to all of you that will gladly go check out Happy New Year, Charlie Brown, when it comes on the television and you'll be checking out this year. And if you're a true Peanuts fan, I challenge you to go find Happy New Year, Charlie Brown. And I also make sure you don't want to forget about your furry loved ones at home and how you can treat them to some exclusive snacks from True Dog. Premium grade human cuts of U.S. source meat from True Dog. No wheat, no corn, no grains, no chemical or byproducts, just refined, digestible quality protein. As seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, Lifetime, the Health Wellness Channel, True Dog food and snacks are formulated with advice and nurturing from leading holistic veterinarians to help dogs live longer, happier, and healthier lives with you. Get anywhere from 29% up to 72% off of the items at True Dog just by using the link that I provide in the blog page for this podcast. And guys, I thank you so much for stopping by this evening. Thank you so much for enjoying this journey with me. And know that down the road, I have to give one last shout out. Got to have a good old time with my buddy Russell Brown, who has a fantastic podcast coming out soon. Be watching for Loud and Opinionated, being promoted shamelessly on this podcast. Got a chance to go to his trivia game that he had the other night at the brewery that we were at. Got to sit there and got three sheets to the wind on A&W Root Beer, answering some pro wrestling trivia. Fell in third place. Third place isn't too bad out of six. We'll just say that I became a middleman, just like good old Charlie Brown. Everybody appreciates somebody who never quite makes first place, but always keeps plugging away. And with that, I thank you guys for coming on. This has been your favorite Blockhead. We'll see you next time. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel. Happy New Year, Blockhead Nation.